I read for you once again one of the verses, in fact, the last verse we read a while ago, and I want to speak tonight on the subject, the root of the matter, the root of the matter. In verse 28 of Job 19, "But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me?" I guess all of us, or none of us, quite realizes how many of the common sayings that we use come from the Bible. Did you know, for example, the words lovey-dovey come from the Bible? You thought they came from the moon, didn't you? They come from the Bible. There are many other such statements and many other little phrases that are isn't in the Bible, and I dare say most of us did not ever realize that the words, the root of the matter, originated in the Bible. We say, now look, let's get down to the root of the matter. Let's just quit hem-hawing around. Now, hem-hawing does not come from the Bible. That comes from Texas. But did you ever hear hem-hawing? How many ever heard the word hem-hawing? It's just a Greek word that... let's just quit hem-hawing around. I sort of say fediddling around. Is that a good word here? Fediddling? Have you ever heard the word? That's a Hebrew word that comes from pity and idling. And let's just quit fediddling around, or let's just quit hem-hawing around. Let's just get down to the root of the matter. And it's from the Bible, Job chapter 19, verse 28, we get this statement, the root of the matter. Now, why is the root so important? Well, because the root is that which gives life to the plant. There are at least four things the root does. In the first place, the root fixes. It fixes. Now, these little climbing vines that climb fences and have no roots, you can't depend on them. But you take a big oak tree that has roots, that fixes that tree. That tree is not going to be moved. It's going to stay there. Why? Because the root fixes. And when Job says, get to the root of the matter, he's saying, let's get fixed on this thing. I mean, the root fixes it. It doesn't move. You've heard the song, I shall not be, I shall not be moved, I shall not be, I shall not move. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Our deacons sing that song at offering time, I shall not be moved, and I sing, let go and let God have his wonderful way. But what does it mean? Just like a tree that's planted by the water. That means that the root goes down in the ground. Now, if you can get the root okay, then it's fixed. It's there. And that's why it's important in any issue to get the root of the matter. Get to the root of the matter, and that fixes it. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Now, that means that there is the root, and the root fixes. Not only that, the root receives. Biologists tell us that, or botanists tell us that a root actually in the ground looks for food for the plant. It goes looking, and it receives for the plant. Now, let's get to the root of the matter. It means that we need to receive all the facts, and let's get down to the root of the matter, receive all we can. Something else about the root feeds. It feeds. It goes down, it looks for food, it feeds the plant. So let's get to the root of the matter. Something else the root does, it quickens. Springtime comes, and a message comes to that root and says, give life to the plant. And through the root, there comes the life to the plant. So, what Job is saying here, he's saying, let's get fixed on this matter. Let's get life on this matter. Let's receive what we ought to receive about this matter. And let's get the food about this matter. Let's get down to the real meat of the situation. Now, look. Anybody that knows anything knows that the root is the most important part of the plant. You see a big tree sticking up out here in the woods somewhere, you rest assured that way down in the ground there spreads out the root of that tree. The root of the matter. In many cases, the plant, the root is the fruit. I won't go into it, don't know much about it, but you know as well as I know. Take, for example, you Yankees. You pull turnip greens and you throw the greens away and eat the turnips, you ignorant, stupid heathen. When I first came to this area 11 years ago, I went to the grocery store. I think it was, it was Burgers or Model or something. And I was waiting in line and I saw people buying turnip greens. And I stood there waiting in line to pay and saw them as they tore the greens off and threw them in the garbage can. And kept the turnips. And I never wanted to buy a garbage can so bad in my life as I did But I sat there and almost cried and said, the day has come, the falling away is here, apostasy has set in. Men not to do a sound doctrine, ignorant, stupid people. Now, what you're doing is you're throwing away the plant and keeping the root. But in some cases, the root is saved. And isn't a pineapple grown under the ground also? I'm just thinking, a pineapple's not that way. Other things are. But have you ever seen a pineapple tree? All right. So, anyway, you do well to listen. I mean, you spoke last week. Now, you listened this week. Job is saying, now look, let's get down to the thing that causes it to grow. Here's a big problem. Get to the root of it. Let's see what caused it. Here's some fruit we want to bear. Well, let's get down to the root of it, and let's get the roots right. Let's get the root of the matter. And now we have the strangest ideas as a nation that we can correct the plant without correcting the roots. I want to talk to you for a while, and if you listen carefully, I think it'll make sense. About the root of the matter. You see, if you don't get the root right, you don't get the plant right. In many, many cases, well, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, the great parable, kingdom chapter, we have the seed falling on stony ground, and there's not enough dirt for the plant, the seed, to take root. And there's no root, so the plant grows for a while, and after a while, it's dead. Why? We haven't gotten down to the root of the matter. Now, we have the strangest idea in America that we can solve our problems by facing the problems. No, you never will. You never will. You will never spray the leaves and cure the roots. The problem in America is not a leaf problem, it's a root problem. Tonight, our nation is on the brink, and I have no doubt in my mind about it, on the brink of communism. And we think we can cure communism and our maladies caused by communism by fighting communism. No, no. They went back to the root of the matter years ago. They started with boys and girls the size these are talking over here right now on the second row. They started with boys and girls that size, and they have been at the root of the matter for all these years. And now then, they've got on the age of those who are talking back here in the back, and they have the why. They started at the root of the matter. Now look, you take this, and I'm as mad as I can be about these stupid rock festivals. I'm weary. Look, in Ohio, they had one of those sorry orgies just the other day, and they find people to let them have their farms for them. Fellas helped him find a seat in the back on the back rows real quick, like just on the back rows there, and a fellow had the phone. And here's the thing: it says that they chewed or smoked marijuana and used marijuana like it were candy, and they had nude mixed bathing, and yet the merchant said they never saw such well mannered young people in their lives. I'd like to see the kids they've been seeing. You see, and so what we say? We say this. We say over in Chicago, it's too bad, they said, some of the leaders said, it's too bad that 49,000 innocent young people can't have a decent rock festival without 200 young people causing trouble and wanting to tear the place down. Now, they haven't got enough sense to get the root of the matter. It's that kind of rotten, sorry, heathen, barbaric, medicine man music that creates hoodlums like that. You see, the root of the matter. Now, what we'd like to do, we'd like to, once the plant is grown, we'd like to spray the plant, you see, and say, okay, let's take these 200 pieces of fruit that have grown from the plant, and let's do something with them. No, that same plant that brought forth the fruit of those 200 kids that tried to destroy the van shell has more fruit coming on and more sap coming up to the vine, and those 49,000 other young people are just little baby plants, that the baby fruit, or blossoms that will bloom someday and become just like the other 200. Look, you've got to get the root of the matter, and unless you get the rock music stamped out, I mean like rattlesnakes, you're not going to solve the youth problem in this country. Lenin and Russian communism dedicated themselves to destroying this nation by its music many, many years ago. And they've just about done it. Now, the thing we've got to do is not punished. Well, we ought to punish, and I'll get down to that after a while. But just punishing the rotten fruit that's already fallen from the vine is not going to cure it. It's just like going out and clipping crabgrass, what you see at the top, or dandelion. Tell you what you do. I go out and, now, by the way, that's one of my pet peeves. I think dandelions are beautiful. I can't understand why folks cut dandelions or dig them up. To me, they're pretty yellow flowers. Now, I can understand it. Sometime when you have time, explain it to me, would you please? But I don't have time. But anyway, you go out and here's a yard full of dandelions. And so what do? Well, you just take scissors and you clip the dandelions off. You'll have more dandelions in a little while. Now, you've got to get the root, right? You got to get out and dig up the root. Same way with crabgrass. You just mow the crabgrass and you'll have more crabgrass. And you'll be crabbier about it. But you got to get the root. Now, look, you're not going to solve the youth problem unless you get the roots done. And the root of the matter is we've got some heathen barbaric music. And by the way, these kids dress in these outfits all out in left field look like an international convention of nuts. And they come to these places, they wear what they want to wear, or take off what they want to take off, and sing this heathen music. And by the way, you young people, listen to me, and you listen to me well. That kind of rotten, filthy folk music of this generation came from the devil and from hell, and you're going to answer to God, every one of you who play that rotten stuff and listen to it and let it play on your radios and your record players. It's from hell, and the root of the matter is that kind of music stirs the things that cause the young people of our nation to go to hell. The root of the matter. Well, we've got the strangest idea. We can spray the bad plant, but we've got to get down and dig up the roots. Take our crime control. You know, it's absolutely unbelievable for our president and our national leaders to get on television and have a commercial about obeying the laws, saying, remember, our nation was built on the obedience to the law. And this has always been a law-abiding nation. Let each of us remember in his own way to observe the law. Can you feature that? Can you feature my mother years ago saying, our home has been built on observance of the law? It would be very pleasing to me as your mother. She went out and got a peach tree limb and shed that thing of all its peach trees and shed me of my pants and and shed me about 5 pounds work. And she didn't need any commercial, brother. I'd already had one. Now, it's absurd. I mean, we say, please obey the law. Bumper stickers saying, honor your policeman. Well, I honored that rascal that used to be around my house, trying to beg people. He'd take the ammunition out of his gun, the club out of his hand, and if he does find anybody, he has to apprehend. He's got to have a book here of rules about the rights of the bank robber. And the bank robbers know the rules, too, by the way. And nowadays, when a fellow goes to rob a bank, he takes his attorney with him, and you can't even hold him up and apprehend him. Why? Because we got the root of the matter. You take ammunition out of the guns of the National Guard. The root of a nation, the root is enforcement of the law, apprehension and punishment of criminals. Now, say what you want to say. In our country, we're not going to solve the crime problem until we throw some folks in the penitentiary or the jailhouse or in the clink about a few hours after they commit their crime. You're not going to solve your draft dodgers while your Cassius Clays run loose. You're not going to solve your murder problems while your Richard Specks are still alive. And you've got to get the root of the matter. And the root of law and order in any nation is prompt enforcement and punishment for crime. That's the root of the matter. Take our schools. We have the root of the matter. I mean, Hammond High, a bunch of folks can kidnap the principal and hold hostage the dean And what do? Those same fools are called as a part of a committee the next day to give their grievances so we can appease them so they can get what they want, so the next time they'll know how to get what they want to capture the principal and hold the dean in hostage. I'll tell you one thing. When I was in college, if I thought I'd gotten what I wanted by holding the dean hostage, I'd have captured the nut. The truth is, if I'd just known I hadn't gotten anything, I'd like to capture him anyhow. Now look. Until you get the place to where you get the root of the matter, and the root of the matter is punishment for wrong. Look, when these schools, Morton High School, Munster High School, Hammond High School, all the riots and all the demonstrations and all the laughing and cursing and vulgarity going on, students taking over and cursing the faculty and trying to, look, all of it will be solved by enforcement and punishment for wrongdoing. And until we do that, we're not the root of the matter. And our country's gone. Our schools are gone. You take communism. You're not gonna destroy communism by just making a few speeches against its errors or writing a few intellectual books. You're not going to destroy communism in America until you take a fellow who stands up at the University of Indiana or Illinois before those students and says a few words against our nation and advocates communism, until you put that fellow so far in the penitentiary he can't see daylight, you're not going to solve the communist problem in America. As far as I'm concerned, brother, when a man uses his freedom to try to destroy the nation that gives freedom, and when your freedom infringes on my freedom, you don't have a right to speak it. And we're not going to solve it. The root of the matter, we're going to have to make criminals out of communists. Now, until we do, I mean, a fellow stands up and says, on the television, you can own any of you sorry, good-for-nothing television stations in Chicago, on any of them you can see it. The other night I was studying late on Saturday night and I had the television on the news. When the news was over, the announcer said, "Stay tuned for the Cup Show." And that's Irv Cupp's in it. I'd never seen it. And so I was about to turn it off. And he said, "One of the guests tonight is John Stormer, who wrote None Dare Call It Treason." Well, I know John Stormer, so I thought I'd stay and see how the old boy fared, you know. And so they had four or five characters they got from the zoo. And they were on one side, and poor old John was by himself on the other side. He did a pretty fair job, considering the fact that you can't breathe. You almost have to wear a gas mask around those stinking idiots. But John did a pretty good job. But a fellow stood on that show, and he said, "I am for the destruction of American capitalism. I am for communism taking America." Now, what they ought to have done is call the police, have them come, put him in the jail. Why? Because he's more ruthless than 1,000 murders running loose in Chicago. Dedicated to the destruction of our way of life, and we're not going to save our nation till we get to the root of the matter, and the root is we're going to have to dig up these communists. Now, say what you want to say. The main root of a nation, as I said, is discipline and punishment. Oh, you say, "Brother Hiles, the main root of a nation is the Bible." The Bible is what teaches us about discipline and punishment. Until you start in the home with discipline, in the church with discipline, by the way. The other night, a lady came to me after the service. "I wanted to regurgitate." In the Hebrew, that means vomit. "I wanted to regurgitate." She came to me after service with tears in her eyes, defending her child, whom I'd called down during the service for misbehaving. You better thank God somebody calls your kids down when they misbehave. Look, I do these kids more than... By the way, kids, I'm looking now during the prayers. Your days of whispering during the prayers are over, and any of the PA men, and we're turning the lights on periodically during the baptism of the night. I mean, here's one church, brother, and here's one preacher that's going to do his best to have some old-fashioned respect for authority and discipline among the young people, and older ones too, for that matter. Now, the honest truth is, when I call your kid down, don't you come to me after the service whimpering about it, because I may call you down next time. This nation is gone. It's bereft of somebody to say, "This is the law. Keep it. Respect it." We have visitors come here often and all the time, this morning, you know, I said something, and boy, we had a few visitors that almost had to have oxygen. One fellow looked at his wife, I mean, that's the way I'd look. I had to look at her too. But I mean, you know why? You know why? Because nobody much. Well, listen. I can recall my old preacher. Where in the world's the microphone? I can recall. Well, you got both of them over here. You're taking over the place. I got one. You got two. One Sunday ruined him. Well, I recall my old preacher, old Forrest McElroy, 6'4", tall, 240 pounds, and spit all the time while he was preaching. He came down the front, and boy, he'd let back have it, take his coat off, roll up his sleeves, and I'd even breathe hard. Jackie, boy, you sit still! And I always felt led to sit still. Always did. If we got a nation where the dad's scared of the kids, and the dad's scared of the mama, and the mama's scared of the kids, and everybody's scared of everybody else, and somebody ought to say, this is the law! Now, you keep it, you're going to get punished for it. Now, what am I going to do with a stick for this thing? Now, the root of the matter. The root, look. You take a little kid when he's 2 years old, or 2 years, nothing, 6 months old. He said, no. And you say, isn't that cute? He said, no. No, it's not cute. No, it's not cute. When David was about 2, he had a little stubborn streak. And I was feeding him green beans one day. So I stuck the green beans in his mouth. You know how you do. You got that spoon open up. Scraped it on his teeth, hoping it, and then all of a sudden, and it comes back out. And David spit it back out on his plate and said, no. Now, where he learned the word no, I don't know. But he said, no. And I said, yes. I stuck those green beans back in his mouth, and he spit them out again and said, no. Well, we had a little prayer meeting in the bathroom. And he stood up and ate his green beans when he got back. But he still said no. We sat there 2 hours. 2 hours. Before he ate those green beans. And by the way, if he hadn't eaten, it would still have been there. Because he was going to eat those green beans. And every time he'd said no, I'd let him have it. He'd say it again, let him have it again. Let him have it, and then the green beans back. And I'd spank him, and he'd just spit those beans out again. You'd think he enjoyed spanking. You'd think he'd had some Novocaine put on him somewhere where it didn't hurt. He'd just spit it out again. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you what. He's going to start off learning that there's some law and order. Now, by the way, that's one reason why at the Bill Rice Ranch they say he's a gentleman. Don't misunderstand me. He's not always a gentleman. I know that. And some of you teachers are about to stand up and speak right now. I know that. But I'll say this much. I'll say that if you start out in the home, they won't be over here trying to burn down the city of Chicago. The root of the matter is in your house. And look, you will do your child irreparable harm if you come to the place where every time the preacher calls him down, you decide you want to come up and say, I just don't think my child did it. Or my child said she was doing or said he was doing so-and-so. And by the way, when Dr. Billings gives your child, you got your paddles all fixed up for school? Yeah. I told the people before you came here that when I was in school, that the coach also taught biology, and every time we got a licking, we'd sign the paddle. And that's how I learned to write, was signing the paddle. But now, first time that your child gets a paddling out to high school, and you don't like it, don't you come trotting to me, because I'm too busy. Your child's mother or dad may get a paddling in my office. I'm not going to listen to you. No, I'm going to take the side of authority. Now, if the authority is wrong, I'm still going to take the side of the authority. Because the authority is sincere. You're sincere, aren't you? You see there? That proves the point, I think, just like that. The authority is sincere. So I'm going to take the side of the authority. Now, if the authority makes a mistake, your child is still better off respecting the authority. Now, the root of the matter in this nation is just an old-fashioned return to law and order. But you're not going to have it in the government unless you have it at home, unless you have it at church, unless you have it at school. So, the root of the matter. Now, you take the same things true about the church. The root of the matter. We're wanting, everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong with the church. Almost any magazine you pick up nowadays, is the church relevant to society? I get tired of these words, relevant. And what are the words they use now? Is the church relevant to society? And they use such words as, relevant, and that's one. And so far I've got one. And I like the old term, born again, saved, regenerated, and so forth. But is the church relevant to society? What's happening to the modern church in a new age? I'll tell you what's happening. She's not getting the root of the matter. Look, the root of the matter is you've got to get to the root doctrines of the Word of God, or the church can't have prosperity. The root of the matter. If a church does not believe in a Bible that's true, every word of it, she's going to die because she hadn't got the root of the matter. If the church does not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, He's the virgin-born, sinless Son of God who died vicariously on the cross for the sins of men, and that Christ lived, rose from the dead. She doesn't have the root doctrine. She can't prosper. Show me one liberal denomination that's growing in this country. Not a one. Not a one. Forgive me, but the Presbyterians are dying on the vine. Methodists are dying on the vine. Episcopalians are dead on the vine. Southern Baptists are going down so fast, it's almost impossible to stop their slide. American Baptists have gone. In almost every case, your big denominations that have cast doubts on this book and the deity of the Christ of this book have gone. And they will go. Why? There's no life without a root. And you will not have life in the church till you have the root basic doctrines down to bedrock. The churches that are growing in America are churches that believe every word in this book is inspired by God. The thriving denominations are those that believe in a Christ that's deity, that's the Son of God, that's virgin born. Those that are thriving have a Bible. They believe every word of it is true. And a Christ that lives and a salvation that's real. You've got to have the root of the matter. The truth is, unless you get down to the root of the new birth. And that's the reason they die. The church dies unless it gets down to the root of the matter. Let's take this matter of the church program. Did you know that unless a church is the soul-winning church, that's one of the roots of the matter. Unless a church is a soul-winning church, it has to die. Let's take this church. I hate to discourage you tonight, but did you know some of you are going to die in the next year? I'm sorry to say that. I wish I could pick the ones, but I just have to take them as they come. But some of you are going to die. Worse than that, some of you are going to get married and move off. Did you know in a church this size, about 40 kids go to college every year? We lose 40. Did you know in a church this size, Katie, where are you? About how many will die in this church a year? Would you say 50? All right. Let's take 50 die a year. And I suspect it's more than that. But let's take 50. If 50 die a year and 40 go off to college a year, that's 90. And I guess we'll have, I would imagine we'd have 25 kids get married and go away. That's 115. We'll have probably 25 boys go off to service every year. That's 140. I suspect we'll have 300 or 400 people move out of the city every year. We're getting up to 500-600 people. Did you know, Dr. Billings, we have to have about 10 converts a Sunday to break even. Just to break even. How many churches have 10 converts a Sunday? Dang. A church that's going to live in the next generation has to close in this generation. Go to England tonight and visit the churches in England and you'll find just a few graybeards going to church, that's all. Why? Because they're not down to the root of the matter. The honest, simple, basic truth is a church has got to get down to what it was created to do, and that's reach men, or the church will lose more than it gets. This church right here could die in 5 years. Oh, I don't mean not have services. I mean get the place for the choir to take care of the crowd. This section right over here to take care of the crowd. Close the balcony off on Sunday morning even. It's happening all over the area, all over Chicago. It's happening all over America. If we didn't keep getting people saved. Just those who die, those who get married, after a while all you have is a few graybeards. I mean a few older people. It's all you have. I can show you churches in this area that thrive. Let's take churches back in the days of Paul Rader. Back in the days of Ironsides. Back in the days of Dr. McCarroll. Churches in Chicago that thrived and are blessed of God and had great crowds. And now, in many cases, a handful meet, and most of them are older people. Now, here's what happens. Follow me. Here's what happens. We just, as we get older, let's take a few people here. Let's see. Ray, you sang a while ago. Where's Ray? Yeah, Ray. Now, Ray grew up in this church. But now I've been here 11 years. Have you noticed how Ray has aged? He looks at least 11 years older than he did when I came here. Let's take, let's see, who was I looking at tonight looking awful old? What was her name? But anyway, I was just thinking, 11 years, boy, takes its toll. As far as I know, the only person in these 11 years that hasn't aged is me. And you're doubting it, but it takes its toll. And folks that were young 11 years ago have graying temples now, or empty temples, one or the other. Why? Because we grow old. Now, we've got to get new blood in all the time. If you don't get the new blood in, pretty soon you get older and older, and after a while, you've got... Remember that church, you folks in the Holy Land, that church you went to in London? Seated 3,000 people. I guess there weren't 200 folks there. Walt Ruskowski said amen, and four light bulbs fell down. And we had to give artificial respiration to the preacher. In fact, I was embarrassed myself. But, anyway, and Hazel punched him. Walter! But anyway, forgive me. But anyway, now, you recall, who was there that night? Just a handful of old folks. Ones that haven't died yet. Ones that have been jogging all these years, taking care of themselves. All ones left. Same thing will happen here. We got to get new blood. What? The root of the matter is falling. Look. Church in Hammond, Woodmore Methodist out here. Pastor went down to Selma, took a bus of people and marched on Selma, you know, with the Negro. Now, I don't care whether you're for integration or segregation. I don't care whether you like your people black, white, or beige. I don't care. The simple truth is that it's not the job of the church to get off an integration fight. The root of the matter is soul winning. What did God put this church on this corner for? To feed the poor? Not primarily. Primarily to win the lost and feed the poor secondarily. What did God place this church on this corner for? To clothe the cold? Not primarily. God placed this church on this corner to reach the lost. Clothing the cold and naked is a secondary job. It's a means to an end, but the great end of the church is reaching souls for God. The root of the matter. The root of the matter. Now we lose the root of the matter, we're in trouble. Let's take Father Groppi, forgive the bad word, but take this fellow Groppi up in Milwaukee, and take this fellow Jackson over here in Chicago. I'm going to get all these guys mad at me again, but take the fellow Jackson. Now I don't care whether you're for Jackson or against Jackson. It's not the job of the church to go around trying to take care of breadbaskets. Job of the church is to get people born again. Now I'll go a step further. If a fellow is fighting Jackson, it's not his job to do that. If it's the church, his job is to get folks converted. Our job is reaching the souls of men. And we'll do more for society by reaching the souls of men than we will getting off on some rabbit chasing somewhere and getting off the subject. The job, the root of the matter is reaching men for God. That's one of the reasons why, by the way, this church does more social work than accidentally and incidentally than churches do as their primary target or purpose for not winning souls for Christ. Churches all over this area talking about social work. Show me a church in Hammond that owns and operates its own rescue mission. Show me one. Show me five that have gone together to build their own rescue mission. Show me one. Say, they call me in Hammond the double dip Baptist preacher. They call me other things too, but the double dip Baptist preacher. So that means I get folks saved and baptize them again, you see, dip them again, double dip, baptize. They got baptized in some church one time and they weren't born again. They come here and get born again, I baptize them, and they call them the double dip Baptist preacher. And they say, hey, just dips them and draps them. I met a liberal preacher in the hospital one time. It's funny how unfriendly these friendly folks can be if they're not being observed. And so I saw him. I said, hi, how are you? He said, fine. And So I pulled a conversation out of him, and he said, you have a lot of converts there, but how many did you conserve? I said, how many did you have in church Sunday night? Well, he said, we don't have Sunday night church. I said, I beat that. I conserved more than you did. I've got a standing challenge to these liberal preachers in town that think God's called them to be social workers, a standing challenge for all of them to add together all the money they spend, all the time they spend, all the people in trouble they have, and all of us, and all the liberals together in this whole town won't do for the poor people what the First Baptist Church in Hammond's doing. What the church needs to do is get back to the old-fashioned preaching of the new birth, the root of the matter. The root of the matter. Men are sinners. Men are lost. Men are going to hell. Men by nature cannot save themselves. Christ died for sinners. You've got to get born again to go to heaven. That's the message of the church. The root of the matter. And Job said, get back to the root of the matter. He meant get back to that which gives life. Get back to that which fixes the church. Get back to that which feeds the church. Get back to that which gathers for the church. And the job of the church, the job of God's people, the job is, the root of the matter, is reaching folks for Christ. That's the program of the church. But there's something else. And that is the root of the matter for the Christian. Our nation? Yes. Our church? Yes. But the root of the matter for the Christian. I want to say a few words about this. What is the root? What is the thing for a Christian that is the root of the matter? All right, here's a person who comes down the aisle, walks down this aisle. He says, I want to be saved. A deacon is called over and he kneels with him. He opens his Bible. He shows him how to be saved. The man gets up. He's been born again. Now then, he's a new Christian. Now, what is the root of the matter? What is the big thing he ought to do? Number one, he ought to get baptized. Now, listen carefully to me. I don't have a thing about baptism. And I haven't got some kind of a fad or a crusade just on baptizing folks immediately. But I'll tell you what, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I believe folks ought to get baptized the same hour they get converted. And it's not a matter of preference either. It's a matter of conviction. It's a matter of whether or not your people will grow in grace. Look. The root of the matter is this. The first commandment that God gives to a new Christian is get in the water. Water always, now follow me, water always is second in the Bible. Always is. The first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Second day of creation, God divided the water above from the water beneath, right? Water was always number two. In the plagues of Revelation, water is affected second. When the Jews were delivered from bondage, first deliverance, and second, they crossed the what? The Red Sea. That's the water. In the tabernacle, you came inside, and there was the altar, brazen altar, where the lamb was slain, first piece of furniture. What was the second piece of furniture? The laver, where the water was. In the third chapter of John, we have the great sermon on the new birth. In the fourth chapter of John, right after the new birth, we have the great sermon on the living water. You check your Bible and you'll find that water always follows light. Conversion, water. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they that received his word were what? Baptized. Immediately. In Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5, baptized immediately. Acts chapter 8, baptized immediately. Acts chapter 16, Lydia, baptized immediately. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, baptized the same hour of the night. I mean between midnight and sunrise. Sometimes he got converted and baptized the same hour. Now, the root of the matter is more Christians stumble between here and here than any other place in the Christian, between right there and right there. Why? Because it's the first commandment. Now, if you're going to have a Christian obey the other commandments, you've got to have him obey the first one. The root of the matter is get started right. Get started right. I was talking to a couple today about getting married, and they had a disagreement in my office. Nothing serious, but the young fellow looked at her, and boy, just tickled me to death. He said, now, let's just have something understood right now. Now, the fact that any man says that to any woman is most refreshing in this generation. I mean, boy, it's just almost unheard of nowadays. Now, for the woman to say that to the man is common. But he said to her, Now, let's just have this understood right now. Now, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's gone ahead and say, I'll do anything you want me to do. The fact that he said it that way encouraged me. But then he went on to say, if we're going to get married, let's have it understood now that I'm the boss. And she began to cry, and he didn't cry at all. We averaged out nothing. He didn't cry, she cried, and I laughed. He just said it. And you know, if she had thrown a fit and said, I just won't marry you, you know what he'd have done? He'd have said, okay. And that just refreshed me good. Now what? The root of the matter is the fella was getting off to the right kind of a start. Now you see, fellas, you goofed. It's too late for you. You go home and say, let's just have this understood right now. May I? But not this. The root of the matter. Now, the honest truth is, a Christian ought to get off to the right kind of a start. What's the right kind of a start? Taking off with the water. People oftentimes say, well, Howells and I just don't agree. No, it's the Bible that you don't agree with. There's not one place in this Bible where God says, let a fellow stand the test, let him pass a lot of rules, let him appear before a committee, and then get baptized. In every case, it's conversion and baptism, same day. But somebody says, well, the Howells on the mission field, you can't do that. Well, you tell Philip about that. He won that Negro man on the road to Gaza who was from Ethiopia. And he didn't have time to get his blood tested and credit references. He baptized him on the spot. That Negro man from a foreign country said, see, here's water. What, the enemy to be baptized? And they stopped the chariot. They both went down in the water and they baptized him there. Now look, the root of the matter is, if you're going to be a good Christian, you don't start off disobeying God. You start off obeying God. And the obedience is, of course, baptism. And that's why I place a lot of emphasis on baptism. Because I want Christians to start off with the root of the matter, and that is obeying Christ in baptism. Now, the second thing about this matter of the root for the Christian, and that is the church. The local church. Somebody asked me tonight, they said, what do you think we can do about these gangs in Chicago? Well, all we can do is build good local churches. The need, the answer for every need in America is to have churches like this on every street corner across this country. That's the answer. These folks over here are not going to be in any black Stone Rangers. They may be in some white Stone Rangers, but if they do, look, I'll kill them. I mean, we won't put up with it. Just won't. Why? Because we're going to have these kids disciplined where they're not going to be anarchists. Now, the root of the matter is having a church where the stand is taken, the Bible is preached, convictions are upheld, and discipline is taught, the gospel is preached, the new birth is stressed, the Bible's believed, and that's the need in America. Say what you want to say. Look, all the Youth for Christ, and I'm not against Youth for Christ. All the child evangelism, I'm not against that. All the Jewish work, I'm not against that. That's all good, but that's not the hope for America. The hope for America is an old-fashioned New Testament church. Fellow walked in the office of the day. He said, what are you doing for the Jews? I said, the same thing we're doing for the Polacks. He said, I mean, do you have a work among the Jews? I said, yes, sir. We have work among the Frenchmen, too. Oh, he said, I mean, do you have a special work among the Jews? And I said, yes, we have a special work among the Spanish. He said, no, he said, I don't mean that. He said, I mean, the Bible says the Jew first. Well, what that means is your next door neighbor first. He is talking to Jews when he said that. If you're from Chinatown, the Lord would say to the Chinese first. What he's saying is, don't you go across the ocean, you're going across the street. But he said, now, Dr. Hiles, he said, I'd like to show you something about Jewish work. And I said, I'd like to show you something about Jewish work. He said, do you have a special emphasis with the Jews? I said, yes, if we're talking to a Jew. He said, what do you mean? And I said, we just take off from house to house and don't check their blood while we witness to them. Fellow might be half Jew, half Polak, as you said a while ago, the rest heathen. I don't care what he is. We just talk to him. We don't say fit out of it. I know people that wouldn't witness to you if you weren't a Jew. I know folks that that would knock on your door, and if you didn't come to the door and say, "Hello, Abby," they'd say, "I'm sorry, wrong address." Now, the honest, simple truth is, the basic truth is that the answer is the church. I'm in a church where little boys and girls can be taught, and young folks can be taught, and mamas and dads can be taught, and the children can grow up in the nurture and admonition of God. I'm in an old-fashioned New Testament church that preaches the gospel to everybody. That's the need. I mean, the root of the matter. Look. I know people in the Chicago area, especially among non-denominational circles, that think they've outgrown the cute little New Testament church. I don't want to say this, but I think I'm going to. It's about to come out. I know schools in this area that are good schools. I believe the Bible. And they'll send their students on field trips on Sunday morning to jails, street services, and let them miss church. Now, I was talking to one of the heads of a school like that, and I said, "Look, those kids ought to be in church on Sunday morning. That's why they don't transfer the membership when they move to college. The church means nothing to them." And this man said, a good man, by the way, he said, but it's good to go to the jails. I said, "But those jails are open on Sunday afternoon." Nothing in this world will take the place in the life of your family of a good old-fashioned church. I want to say this now by way of warning. Not even a high school. Not even a high school. Young people, you won't be good Christians because you go to a Christian high school. And the high school won't take the place of the local New Testament church. Because one of these days, you're going to grow up and graduate from high school, and if that high school is your church, you have no church to attend. I know a man who's a dean of one of the greatest universities in America. One of the greatest. Non-denominational university, one of the greatest. That man's son grew up and left the church and doesn't even, they say, believe the Bible anymore. And the dean said, "I didn't teach my boy the importance of the church." He said this university was his church. When he left this university, he left the only place where he got his spiritual nourishment. Nothing, ladies and gentlemen, will ever take the place. The root of the matter is the answer is in the church, the local New Testament church. The root of the matter. All right? The root of the matter for the nation is in discipline. The root of the matter for the church is in its doctrine and soul winning. The root of the matter for the Christian is in baptism and the local church. The root of the matter for the unsaved person is the simple, basic gospel of Jesus Christ. The root of the matter. Listen carefully now. The root of the matter. There are four things you've got to know to be saved. If you're not saved, there are four things you've got to know, and no one will ever go to heaven that didn't know these four things before he got saved. Now, follow me. Now, they may not have called them this, but if you did not know that you were a sinner, the root of the matter is you had to know that to be saved. Nobody will be in heaven that did not know he was a sinner before he got saved. Nobody. Everyone who walks the streets of heaven tonight, or ever will, realize he was a sinner before he got saved. Everyone. May I ask you a question? Did you know you were a sinner? If you did not know that you were a sinner, then you did not get to the root of the matter. There are tens of thousands of people in America every year who walk down aisles and say to the preacher, "I want to be converted." Nobody ever prays with them. Nobody ever opens a Bible. They stick a card in their face and they start writing their name and address before they ever get prayed with. Never a Bible opened. Now, don't misunderstand me. You may have known the plan of salvation and you're walking down the aisle. You may have been saved because you walked down the aisle or while you're walking down the aisle. Don't misunderstand me. You don't have to have a Bible open at the altar to be saved. But there are a lot of people that don't know how to be saved. They feel a conviction. They feel a desire to be saved, but they don't have salvation. They walk down the aisle, no Bible, no prayer, no feeling at the altar, no discussion at all. They sign a card. They don't even know that they're sinners. The root of the matter must be you must know that you're a sinner. Did you know you're a sinner? The day that you were supposed to have been converted, did you know that you were a sinner? That's a root of the matter. Number two, nobody will ever go to heaven that did not know that there's a penalty on sin. There's a penalty on sin. The root of the matter, you've got to know that you're a sinner, and you've got to know that God has placed a penalty on sin. Number three, the root of the matter is this. You've got to realize and know that Jesus Christ bore your sins as your substitute on the cross. Did you know that? I ask a lady if you're saved. Are you saved? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm saved. How do you know? I just felt it. It just tingled all over. You're not saved because you tingled all over. You're saved because you knew you were a sinner, and knew sinners are lost, and knew Christ died for sinners. If you did not know that Christ died on the cross as your substitute, you didn't get saved. I talked to the lady this morning. I said, are you saved? She said, why, sure. She said, I was born saved. No, the Bible says you're born in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. The Bible says the wicked go estranged as soon as they're born, speaking lies and hypocrisy. No, you weren't born saved. You're born going away from God, and the minute that you realized that right from wrong, and you chose wrong instead of right, you became accountable for it, and you are not saved, and neither has anybody else ever been saved, unless he knows the root of the matter. One, you've got to know that you're a sinner. Two, you've got to know that there's a penalty on sin. Three, you've got to know that Christ paid that penalty. Did you know that? Four, the root of the matter is you've got to know that in faith, if you'll receive him in faith, relying on him to take you to heaven, he'll make you his child and take you to heaven when you die. That's the root of the matter. Now, those four things are the roots of salvation. You're not saved unless you knew all four of them. Now, they may not call it. Somebody may have called sin iniquity. Somebody may have called the penalty for sin Christ. Somebody may have, instead of saying Christ died for your sins, somebody may have said Christ bore your sins, but you had to know the fact that you're a sinner. Sinners are lost. Christ paid the penalty for sin, and that if you by faith would receive him, he'd take you to heaven when you die. Did you know that? When you walked the aisle, did you know that? When you got baptized, did you know that? That's the root of the matter. That's the basic of the matter. Now, I don't care what else you have, if you don't get the root, you can't have fruit. A nation that does not get down to the root of the matter and discipline and punish offenders, no matter how hard they work on the surface, she's gone. You've got to get to the root of the matter. President Nixon can get on the television and beg us to obey the law, but that won't do it. Look, you're not going to beg people not to sell marijuana if they're making $10,000 a month on it. You've got to put them so far in a penitentiary that you'll have to ship air in there for them to breathe. And as far as I'm concerned, any dirty crook that would make his living on ruining the minds and bodies of our young people ought to be in the dungeon of the penitentiary. And I'll go a step further. I think they'll put a bunch of them in the electric chair. I don't mean capture punishment. Well, you're the kind that's ruining this nation right now. Yes, you do believe in capital punishment, too. You just don't believe in punishing those that commit it all the time. I'll tell you what you do. Some of these hoods that drive down Sibley Street about 65 miles an hour on Sunday night. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to the hardware store and buy me some tacks. And I'm just going to spray them out there on that street and then sit out there and lay while they all come by. You don't like that, do you? Well, just be careful as you drive down Sibley some Sunday night. Come down the street 65 miles an hour, endangering the lives of all our boys and girls. The policeman stops them. He says, naughty, naughty. You know what we need? We need some old-fashioned policemen. Get ready, boy, because I'm coming at you. We need some old-fashioned policemen to grab a guy with a nap in the neck and say, come on down to the jail. We're getting there. What's that, boy? Go ahead. I'm through with you. Huh? Now, Dave, you grab a guy with a nap in the neck and say, you comfortable in the paddy wagon? Huh. If you don't like the food at the prison, at the jail, you can always demonstrate. By the way, you're his attorney? May I arrest him? You see, we're gone. Just look, what's wrong? Why can't we continue building our nation like we built it? It's built on that. You know, I just wonder how the army is these days. I wonder what the sergeants are like. Please, right face?
Anybody want to volunteer for KP?
I can see old Captain Fuller now. He said, Hiles, you're on KP today and guard tonight. And I said, Captain, I think, he said, you ain't paid to think. You just peel taters and walk guard. By the way, we had ammunition, our guns, too. I know, because I considered shooting Captain Fuller.